Every little thing I do never seems enough for you. You don't want to lose it again, but I'm not like him. Maybe when you finally get to love somebody, guess what? No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. Hey guys, this is the Rary is Fundamental podcast, episode 83, brought to you by Rary.net. I am your host, Rary. You already know what this podcast is all about, mostly NBA talk, but I do dabble on other things such as other sports, wrestling, video games, social issues, dating, anime, life in general, because this podcast is fundamental. My guest is an old friend, Whitney Medworth. She's part of SB Nation, a prominent voice of NBA Twitter. She's an OG voice of NBA Twitter. She's been around. I've known her for nearly a decade, but yet I never met her in real life because that's how the internet rolls. Anyway, we're going to go through each NBA team remaining in the NBA playoffs. We're going to talk a little WNBA. We're going to talk the Indiana Pacers, a team that she cheers for now after she was cheering for the Lakers a decade ago. Just kidding. A really tough subject in Lance Stephenson. You see, people cheer for Lance, and some people have an issue with him because of his past. If you don't already know by now, he got arrested for pushing his girlfriend down the stairs in 2010. Still, some people cheer for him, and some people don't for good reason, because of his past, basically. We talk about that tough subject in this podcast, and honestly, it wasn't planned to be that way, but kind of went that direction. Anyway, before we get to the Stop Provoking podcast with Whitney, let me remind you that you can download the show on either Stitcher or on the home site, rary.net/fun. You can also subscribe to Android and, well, we're still working on iTunes. That thing is broken. Follow me on Twitter at TheNoloPass and follow the podcast Twitter at RaryIsFun. This is a really good convo with Whitney, and hopefully I can have her back again in future shows. Cool? Promo? Then we start.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Murphy from Raptors Republic and a bunch of other places. You're listening to the Rary is Fundamental podcast.
Rary is Fundamental podcast, episode 83, being recorded on April 30th, 2018. By the time you hear this, it's going to be May. My guest for this episode from SB Nation, an old friend of mine. You've heard her last year, Whitney Medworth. What is up?
What's going on? I appreciate the NSYNC reference already, and we're just getting started.
I knew you would. Yeah. We've been friends for a long time, and I already know about the NSYNC, yeah, the pop song references, and all that stuff. And by the way, you know how hard it is for me to watch an NBA playoff game when I'm in the middle of a Riverdale marathon? Like, it's really tough.
Are you getting into Riverdale?
Yeah, I am.
No, it's a good move. It's a good show.
Yeah, I just started last night because a friend of mine, Joanne, one of my gal pals, is just talking about shipping a few people on that show. I'm just kind of like, is this going now in this Archieverse? So yeah. I got curious, and I watched it, and, you know, I read Archie comics in the past, and it's very lighthearted. This one's right. This one's very dark.
And it's very dark.
Yeah, and one of them told me it's basically Archie and 90210 together, and it's like, well, Luke Perry is there.
He really is.
Yeah.
I got into that. I'm not totally caught up, but I mean, it's a pretty good, it's what I like to call bad television.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. A bit of campiness, and then suddenly there's like, it's not what it seems when on the surface, because suddenly it's like a murder mystery. Like, what? Again? Like Pretty Little Liars? You know, that sort of thing.
I would say it hasn't totally filled my Pretty Little Liars void that still exists in my life, but it is pretty good.
I never did finish PLL. I never really did finish it. Like,
really?
Yeah. God. I know, but, you know, I, that's how I am. It's like, it's hard for me to, like, once I get caught up to, like, to real time, it's hard for me to keep up again. So it's like,
it's a commitment.
Yeah, I'm more of a binge watcher, basically.
Yeah, so, for sure. I can relate.
Yeah. So what are we talking about? NBA playoffs, right?
Yeah, about those things.
Yeah, so by the time we're recording this, the Sixers and Celtics just got done.
They did.
The Celtics just ran away. Game one.
I mean, Mm-hmm. I guess the Sixers were tired. I'm not sure. That was not their best showing tonight.
I guess tired in what? In a tired sense where it's like, well, we haven't done anything in the last 6 days and we're exactly. tired. That sort of thing.
That kind of tired. We haven't played in a week and we've forgotten how slightly.
Yeah. But does it seem inconceivable, though, that if either of these teams make the that either of these teams can make the finals? Because look at the Sixers, right? They're very young. And we haven't seen a younger core than the Sixers that could make the finals, right? We've had the 95 Magic. But right. Shaq was already in his third year. Payne was in his second year. The 2012 Thunder. Durant's already in his fifth year. And Westbrook was in fourth or something like that. Yeah. And basically, Joel Embiid's only played 31 games before this season. And right. Ben Simmons is a rookie. So, that's hard to picture, right? Like, I don't know.
Tonight was the first night, too, in a long time where it looked like they still have some, like, younger mentality things, you know? Because I thought they kind of have masked that for a while, and they haven't looked young for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I thought tonight was the first time it was kind of like, oh, yeah, the playoffs are here. We're in Boston. We haven't played for a week, you know? They looked young tonight for the first time in a long time. But, you know, it's still, even after everything, it took basically a superhuman performance from the Celtics. And an awful shooting night from the Sixers. I mean, if the Sixers just make a couple shots here and there, that game could be wildly different. So, I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see how the rest of this series goes.
And it's really rough, too, because we talked about, well, what about the Celtics? Because they're banged up. No Hayward for the whole year. No Kyrie for the playoffs. No Marcus Smart for the first few games of the playoffs. And then you're having Al Horford and Terry Rozier and Jason Tatum just taking over.
I mean, they had 29, 28, and 27 tonight. That's crazy.
Yeah. And did anyone expect this from Terry Rozier? Like, he's been unbelievable, really.
Yeah, I tweeted just a little bit ago. I was like, fine, I'm a Terry Rozier fan now.
Yeah, he made such a huge impact. And at this, I'm sure like a lot of people are making these jokes now. Like, oh, at this point, Kyrie Irving's going to get traded after this, right?
Right. Yeah. It's pretty funny after all the Terry Rozier jokes for so long. You know, Ainge won't give up Rozier for anybody. It is pretty funny now to see him just like absolutely bawling out.
Yeah. And of course, we know the NBA is all about pettiness. He wore a Drew Bledsoe jersey.
He fits the pettiness, part of the NBA perfectly. That was great.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to pick from the East, really. Okay, so we got the other side of the bracket. We have the Raptors, but it's hard to pick them because they haven't made the conference. They only made the conference finals once. I don't want to say they're failures. Basically, I'm trying to avoid that word. But they haven't made the finals after all these years. So it's so hard to believe in them, right?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm just riding with LeBron until he gives me a reason not to. I mean, I know the Raptors are good. Their bench could be what kills the Cavs in the end. But until LeBron gives me a reason to think he can't find a way to win, I don't believe in anybody but him.
It sounds crazy because this is his worst team since.
Oh,
he brought the 2017 to the NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah. By far.
Yeah. And that was a great team either. 2007, Steve Lauskas, Daniel Gibson.
Right.
Larry Hughes, I think, was on that team? I don't even remember anymore. Such a long time ago. But I don't know. I'm picking the Raptors in this series, but even I can't, like, it's LeBron at the other side. You just can't.
Yeah, and you know, one of the concerning things, though, is you know, in that Cavs-Pacers series, Kevin Love did not look good at all. And I don't know if that's something that's going to continue or if, you know, that's something that he'll get out of. But, you know, it doesn't take much for that team to get good. You know, if Love, Korver, and JR are going to hit shots, you know, it gets pretty easy for LeBron to have a team be what he needs them to be, right? Because he just needs to be the main guy. He needs to have shooters. His problem was the shooters haven't made a shot, and they defend. But you know, maybe it's one of those scenarios where the Cavs haven't had that much time together. They go through a tough series with the Pacers. That gives them enough sort of experience, if you will, and then, you know, they're ready to go by the time they get around to round two.
Kevin Love, should be either the third guy or the lead guy, right? Because he's basically number two right now.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Love has to be better.
That's all it comes down to, yeah. We can't leave this without talking about the Pacers, because last year you were basically...
I was miserable.
You were miserable, saying, I'll just be happy wherever Paul George goes.
Exactly, yeah. I remember this exact talk we had. It just seemed like doomsday, and that it was over for the Pacers, and my, how things have changed since we last spoke.
Yeah, I mean, no one pictured this.
No, it's been like such a topic where people want to say, even fans have been like, you know, no one thought we'd be this good. Like, everyone's lying if anybody thought. Like, I'll believe that the guys in the locker room wanted to believe it, because sure, that's their job. What else are they supposed to do? They believed it. I'm fine with that. But if anybody outside of that locker room said they thought this was going to happen, like, you're a liar, because nobody expected them to do what they did.
I mean, in a technicality, they went one game farther than Paul George. I mean,
I didn't think that the Pacers could win that series. And I didn't think that in game seven they could win that game either. Mm-hmm. But what's strange is I was more prepared for them too. Like, this team I felt was more capable of doing it than any team that has been against LeBron with the Pacers in recent memory. Like, I knew it wasn't possible, but I was like, you know what though? If there's a team that's going to do it, it actually feels like it could be this one.
Right.
Which is something I never could. If you had sat here and we talked like a year ago, I would have been like, you're crazy. There's no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And no one saw this from Victor Oladipo. Like, he's awesome now, but come on, right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people haven't talked enough about his body transformation and what he did in the off season. I mean, if you Google a picture from just last year in OKC versus now, I mean, he has put in the work. I mean, it's been a product of a lot of things. You know, he said he learned a lot from Russ. He's, you know, back home in Indiana, the opportunities there for him. I mean, there were a lot of things that went into him, you know, having a great year, but a lot of that was, he worked his tail off this summer, and it really showed. And hopefully we'll see more growth going forward.
If I find that picture from last offseason, I believe, where
yeah,
I think it was 3 weeks apart or something like that, where he was kind of like, you know, baby fat on the first picture, and then suddenly like all yoked up on the second.
Yeah, he had like rock solid abs in the next one.
Yeah. And I remember people replying to me, did he take steroids? I'm like, what?
Right.
Yeah, and I just kind of laughed at it. It's like, dude, he put in the work, man. That could happen in three weeks if you're an athlete. And here he is.
Exactly. And he's been saying, like, he hasn't had, like, fried chicken in over a year now, which is brutal. I never want to live that life, but he's a professional athlete, so he can. But yeah, I mean, all the credit to him, because, I mean, he put in that work and it absolutely paid off for him.
Yeah. Fried chicken for a year and a half. Like, okay.
I think someone asked him, like, are you going to eat Popeyes anytime? He said, after we win the championship.
Oh my gosh. Like, okay. Like, you know that I've been trying to lose weight myself.
Yeah.
I cannot absolutely go, like, a week without fried chicken or something.
Oh, I know.
I can't do that.
No
way.
I like Chick-fil-A too much.
Yeah. Like, I just can't do it. Well, I'm not a pro athlete either, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go for the Victor Oladipo diet us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What am I playing for, though?
Sounds brutal.
Yeah, I know. To the West, are we just waiting for a collision course between the Rockets and the Warriors? Because they both made it look easy in Game 1.
It sure feels like it, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, it just feels like there's really nothing else. I thought, you know, maybe the Pelicans will have another good game Maybe they'll have, you know, they'll win one at home, but that they just look so outmatched already in game one. And Steph's supposed to come back tomorrow for the Warriors, so it all feels like a formality at this point until we get to Rockets Warriors.
But let's talk about the Pelicans really quick, because there are people out there, of course, because that's what they do, that they can go on without Boogie because he's at the Blazers. But that's insane to me.
Yeah,
there's just no way they can go farther without Boogie.
You know, I think that's the kind of thing, and I can even relate this to the Pacers a little bit. You know, like, when teams get, like, this little bit of success, they can't get, like, okay with where they're at. Like, the Pelicans can't assume that just because they had this little bit of success here that now they don't need Boogie still. The Pacers can't assume that just because they had this bit of success that, you know, they don't need to upgrade the roster next summer, because they do. They absolutely have to. So,
yeah.
Like, the Pelicans need Boogie. Let's not be crazy here.
Right. But, man, they just got throttled by the Warriors. And the thing is, it's like, yeah, they still haven't Curry yet. That's not scary. And, yeah, is this just... Okay, so I get that the Rockets and the Warriors are probably on a collision course here, but are we just all dumb anyway, and it's really an easy road for Golden State to go to the championship?
Probably. I mean, watch, we're going to blink, and in a month, it's going to be Warriors-Cavs. We're going to be like, what happened?
Yeah. We could have
sworn it was going to be Rockets-Raptors or Rockets-Sixers, and next thing we know, it's Steph and LeBron again.
Yeah, I almost feel like we're wasting our time here. Never a waste of time to talk to you. I love talking to you, but I'm just saying, like,
same.
Warriors Cavs Part 4, after all of this fear from that they might lose in an earlier round, or the teams are better, but for some reason we're back to where we started.
It almost felt like for the Warriors, like the San Antonio series was perfect for them, because while San Antonio wasn't a great team here, they're still like so fundamentally sound and still play the game so well that it was like a nice little like warm up for the Warriors, and they had to kind of snap out of the skid they had been in towards the end of the season. So now the Warriors they're ready to go, ready to destroy everyone for the rest of the playoffs. It's like, okay. Everybody else, thanks for playing.
Again, let's remind everyone out there, there's no Curry yet, so
we still haven't seen Steph.
Yeah, so he's going to open that up, and jeez, they're probably going to score 145 points a game, win by 30 in every game, and it's... Well, okay, so... But let's give the Rockets a chance, right? Like, they weren't the best team for nothing. They won 65 games.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, but...
I think, you know, those games will be a shootout for sure. But it'll be fun. I mean, I'm hoping that it's a good series between the two of them.
That's all we can really hope for, because... Last year's playoffs, the Warriors swept the West.
Damn, swept the whole thing.
Yeah, the Cavs nearly swept the East. Like,
yeah. Yep.
I mean, I love basketball, but, you know, we also like competition. And that wasn't very competitive at all.
No, it wasn't at all.
Yeah. So, are we also on the same page with the Rockets and the Raptors? Because, Rockets have also lost year after year, and they haven't made the finals since James Harden got there.
Yeah, I guess maybe I believe in the Rockets a little more than I believe in the Raptors right now. Mm-hmm. I only because the Rockets haven't had enough. I don't count this like iteration, this version of the Rockets haven't failed me enough to make me feel like they are the Raptors. They could get there, but. I mean, Clint Capella's really, really improved. Chris Paul has found his spot there in Houston. So I'm not ready to say they're the Raptors of the West yet, but I guess they could get there one day.
Yeah, and the Raptors really, like, their core guys are still the same.
I mean, yeah, they Yep.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Rockets have changed, like, nearly everyone.
Like, the Raptors are in the place now, like, this is your time to beat LeBron. Like, you really do it. It's kind of like what was the Pacers in 2014. Like, that Heat team was begging to be beat.
Right.
And the Pacers just couldn't do it. And that's kind of what I feel like for the Raptors right now. Like, come on. LeBron is begging to be beat. This is your time to do it.
And the thing is, like, the Rockets have all new guys. Chris Paul, this is his first year here. They just got P.J. Tucker. They just got Luke Bonamute. Yeah. Like, it's an old team, basically.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I have a little more faith in them. I mean, I think the Warriors will make it out of the West, but I'm not going to be shocked, though, if the Rockets do.
This is Shea Serrano, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. I think Ray Ray should change the name of the podcast, but he likes it, so that's what you're listening to.
Part of me wants the Rockets to win a championship, not because only because it's someone new, but I really want D'Antoni to get the credit he deserves.
Yeah. How do you feel also about Chris Paul? You know, that puts Chris Paul in a different place as well.
Yeah, yeah. And James Harden, of course.
James Harden, yeah. It definitely clears some demons out, though, for Chris Paul and D'Antoni.
Yeah, exactly. Because Chris Paul hasn't been to the West Finals yet, right?
Correct.
I don't think so.
Correct. And then, if that happens, mm-hmm. yeah. KD has a ring, Harden has a ring, and poor Russ. Russ does not.
So imagine, say, oh, I don't know, by a long shot, okay, Houston wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto wins next year. Serge Ibaka is on that team.
Oh, no. No, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's getting even more and more sad.
Yeah. Weird how that team was actually all together. Durant, Westbrook, Harden, and
Serge. I feel like the kids these days don't even know about it. Like, do you guys even remember when they all played together?
It does look like a long... I mean, it is 6 years ago. Like, that is a pretty long time ago now.
Yeah, especially in the sports world. I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is. And, man, time has flown by. I mean, on that same note, we've known each other for nearly a decade. So, how's that?
If anyone is listening to this doesn't know, Ray Ray was the first basketball Twitter person I ever followed.
When it wasn't basketball Twitter yet.
Yeah, I don't even know what it was then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and to those that missed last year's podcast, you were cheering for the Lakers at the time.
I was. Yeah. I was. And I still do, secretly.
Yeah, that's okay. But, that's okay.
Yeah. I think it was, I guess, Lakers Twitter a little bit at that time.
Yeah. When I first got there, it was Blazers Suns Twitter.
Ah, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. And back in the day, me, Jared Wade, Zach Harper, we were all joking, oh man, Suns Blazers games are gonna be so crowded.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And obviously now, Twitter is used by everybody now, so
it's hard to even define what NBA Twitter is or basketball Twitter is now.
Yeah, I guess we're part of the first wave. I know there's a lot more people who just came in this year and it's like they have no idea what was going on in 2008.
Yeah, sometimes I hear some arguments come up or some things come up and I'm like, guys, we talked about this in 2012. we're way past this. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we remember the joke. We remember the whole thing about Chris Paul not going on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah. I mean, there may be a divide of Twitter of were you here for the lockout or were you not?
Oh my gosh. That was a long time. That was 7 years ago? Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were on Twitter through the lockout, that's one version. If you weren't, that's a different version.
If you were on Twitter during Ustream,
yeah.
People don't even know what Ustream is anymore.
Yeah. Well, what was the other TwitPic. Is that what it was?
TwitPic, yeah. There was no Instagram yet. There was TwitPic.
There was TwitPic, yeah.
And there was, what was that other?
It was the frog.
Yeah, the frog one, yeah.
Whatever that was.
Yeah. Man. Good times.
Times were different.
Times were different. My gosh. Last question, and it's kind of serious, actually. I know you cheer for the Pacers.
Yep.
Lance Stephenson's pretty controversial out there. I mean, obviously, he's had a history of domestic violence. So, do you cheer for him?
Yeah, it's tough. It's really hard as a fan. And I don't know if you even go through this with Kobe a little bit.
Oh, here's the thing. I have not mentioned Kobe's name in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really tough. as a fan. You know, the Pacers signed Darren Hall, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it is really, really tough to manage that. I really don't talk about Darren Collison. I talk about Lance from time to time. As I've gotten older within the past year, 2 years, I've really tried to be conscious of how I speak about Lance. And I try not to get too wrapped up in his antics in the show that he puts on just because of his history. But it's really tough, and there's a lot of players in every sport that that we do this, we sort of give the pass because of they did something long enough ago that it, you know, if Lance did what he did then today, he wouldn't be allowed. No one would you know give him the praise that they do. But it was long enough ago that people will turn a blind eye to it. And so there's definitely players that fall in that category of like time period, and Lance is one of them. So it's something that I struggle with, that I think about a lot, and I don't know the answer to how to deal with athletes that have, you know, that have a past like that. But I do try to be very conscious of it. It's hard. It's really hard. And the fine line with Lance too is that a lot of what makes people get so hyped up about him on Twitter is kind of problematic because of how he acts versus, you know, what had happened. Like, that line is really close for Lance. You know, when he's really going crazy on the court and roughing up guys on the court, it's I get really hesitant about it because that line on the court is really close to what he did off the court. And so it's tough. It is really tough. And I guess the simple answer would be for all of us just to, like, you know, you said you don't mention Kobe's name, would just be to not give these players any time of day. But it's hard. And it is something that I think about a lot. And before I go off and tweet, you won't see me tweeting Lance is the greatest player, Lance is perfect, Lance is a national treasure, like those kind of words, like,
right.
I'm not saying those, you know, because the past is there and you can't change that.
Yeah, it's hard to, I mean, some people just have a hard time separating athletic accomplishments and personal life. I had a woman here a few years ago as a guest, and she cheers for Floyd Mayweather. And that was explanation that she separates the athletic accomplishments and the personal life. I'm like, that's really hard to do. Like,
it's very hard to do.
Yeah. Like, how can you do that? You know? And yeah. Floyd Mayweather isn't my favorite person either, you know?
So, he's not mine either. You know, the Lance is tough because there's part of me that believes that his time with the Pacers has been good for him both times. And I think that he has learned a lot from that organization. But I would be naive to say, I don't know him well enough to, you know, to say that, you know, he's learned from his mistakes or anything like that. And you can't change the past. What he did is what he did. So I'm definitely not making excuses for him. I do think the Pacers organization has been good for him as a person. But yeah, you can't forget about it. You can't let it go. You know, it's there. It's happened, and it needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah, we like to believe that their experiences from years ago, 15 years ago, right. Even, and to see that they've become a much better person. And at that point, it's like, can you forgive? Can you forget? Yeah. Probably not. But
no,
you know,
you can't.
Yeah,
really can't.
Yeah, it's just rough, and it's not even say. Levels of sin, like it's hard to say too. It's like, well, there's domestic violence and there's so whatever. It's like
right.
It still happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah. It is tough, and I think it's something that we, as a whole, sports fans, sports media, I don't think we have. I know for a fact we have not figured out how to handle these situations yet, and it's something that we need to figure out. It's time that we figure out how to handle these things.
Yeah. And I just want to say one other thing that we've gotten so much flack whenever, you know, we slip out. It's like, hey, yeah, go Lance or whatever, like just once or whatever, right? We get so much flack from other people, right? And it's like, you know, it's not like we advocate whatever he did. You know, we're just cheering for our favorite team, or, you know, sometimes we just forget to separate the athlete's accomplishments and the personal life.
Exactly.
It's just we're just human. So,
yeah. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. I understand the view of people that want to, you know, cheer him on as a fan. I understand the view of people that, you know, they don't want to because they don't want to separate the two. And I guess, you know, for me personally, I'm going to continue to work out how to handle that and deal with that, because as a Pacers fan, it's something that's there every time you go to court, you know. Yeah. And the more he gets worked up and, you know, is me, you know, ruffling feathers in not the best way, the more it makes me think, man, it's hard to celebrate him for this when, you know, these other things exist. So it's tough.
Yeah, and I also believe in second chances, right?
Right.
Yeah. Like, we just can't, like, you know, leave him in an island or something and just have him live the rest of his life there. Like, we're just hoping that he mistakes. And
yeah.
And we're all trying to learn from our mistakes.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. That got serious. I'm sorry.
It was serious. It's something that I think about a lot with Lance specifically. So, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Before I let you go, really quick about the WNBA. Training camp started yesterday. But there's been talk about how, you know, Adam Silver might want the WNBA to go on at the same time as NBA. Is that a smart move? I don't think it is.
I don't. I think the one thing, I don't think it is smart at all, unless there's some financial benefit that he's finding in there, which I don't know what that is. Maybe. But the one thing I think the WNBA could really capitalize on is we've had two great WNBA finals in a row.
Right.
We just had a really great women's Final Four. And in the summer, you know, basketball fans that are NBA fans who primarily only watch men play are looking for something to watch. And we're at a point now where a lot of these NBA fans know these WNBA players' names because of the final being so good. And now they're going to start to know college players' names because of Final Four being so good. So I think, to me, the fact that it's in the summer is perfect because – it gives them, you know, an opportunity to watch it. Because let's be honest, if there's a good NBA game on and there's a WNBA game on, NBA fans are going to go to that NBA game.
Yeah.
But if it's in the summer, you know, there's an audience there. People want it. So, you know, maybe he has a financial reason that he thinks that's better. In terms of to build up the fan base, I think separating them and building off the momentum they have right now is way better.
Let's put it this way. People watch summer league games. Yeah. I mean, no offense, but it's not exactly NBA basketball. It's a level above college, but
I think we're at a point too now where, you know, if it's a summer night and, you know, let's take basketball Twitter, for example, basketball Twitter knows that Candace Parker and Maya Moore are going to face off on a Tuesday night in the summer. I think we're at the point now where people are going to be interested in watching that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all watched the Final Four, women's.
Yeah.
And I can't say I've watched a lot of women's Final Four, but I definitely did this year.
Yeah, and, you know, the great thing about that is now you know all those names.
Yeah.
So when they go into the draft next year, you know, like, it's all building upon itself right now in a really good way. So I think the future of the WNBA is in a great place.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the WNBA every playoffs, and I've kept up since the beginning, Cynthia Cooper forged four championships, so I know a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But I'm beginning to get into it more and more because, first of all, the women need support. And second, we got to get better at this whole, there's no basketball on. NBA's not on. Well, NBA's on this summer, too.
Exactly. So, I totally agree. Yeah. I think there's something really fun about the women's game because it is played differently. You know, people say it's played differently meant as a negative, but it's played differently. That doesn't have to be a bad thing, you know? Right. It's just that they play a different game. Their fundamentals are really great. It's a lot of great shooters. It's just a different game, and I think people need to take a second to appreciate it because it's just as good. It's just a little different. It's not high-flying dunk, but you know, it's okay because everybody that's watching probably can't do that anyway. So
I can't dunk. I'm 5'7". Well, I cannot dunk.
You know, I think the WNBA is in a great place. I hope it continues to build. And yeah, I hope we get to a point where, you know, we're like you said, we're not saying, oh, there's no basketball on tonight. You know, we're saying, hey, the Storm, you know, like Breanna Stewart is facing off against, you know, Gabby Williams tonight. Like, I have to watch that. You know, I hope we get to that point.
Yeah, I really hope we do too. And I'm trying to do my part. I had a WNBA episode recently, actually. And I hope to have some more in the summer because I want to help cover the WNBA.
Absolutely.
So, hopefully everyone else gets to that point too. Well, yeah. Like I said, you know, marquee matchups like the Sparks against the Lynx, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be must-see TV.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and I'm excited for summer. It should be good.
Yes. All right, Whitney, go ahead and pub your social media and your work.
Sure, you can find me on Twitter. It is @its_Whitney. Easy to find on Twitter. You can also find SBNation.com. Just head over to the NBA section. I live there as well. And I think that's about it. You can look for my B-Sides column. It comes out on Fridays. It covers what I like to say is everything else that makes the NBA special. So anything that happens outside the court, whether it's clothing or Instagram or petty beef or whatever the stuff is, that all the other stuff we love about the NBA, that's what goes into B-Side. So you can also look for that column as well.
That's how you get in sync with Whitney.
That's right.
Yeah, so thank you so much for doing this. And again, when this comes out, it's going to be May. So
it's going to be May.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks, Whitney.
Yep, see ya.
It's going to be May. Game over, yeah!
Hashtag blame Ray Ray.